I'm intrigued as to where this conversation is going to go, if not somewhat apprehensive as to the overall narrative that's being presented, which is something I want to get into with a little more detail at some point during this. It would seem to me that we're on the cusp of greatness, but there are plenty of pitfalls that might prevent us from achieving enlightenment on the issue of UFOs. We are an immature species. We exist in a divided world, riddled with conflict, corruption, the degradation of moralistic values, the overconsumption of the Western culture, the stigmatization of the holistic and of the natural. The human species could be almost seen as a form of bacterium housed in a planetary petri dish, which is Earth, and it has the potential to grow beyond its initial behaviors, but it has the potential as well to consume itself and die out. It feels to me that humanity is on the precipice of fundamental change, and that amongst other stimulants, and there are other stimulants, the UFO issue could be one of the most effective in accelerating conscious evolution within humanity, but only if we are able to talk about it openly and absent agendas or preconceived biases that might lead us down a particular direction that might not be fully representative of the issue we face. The curious problem of UFOs, what they are, and what to do about them now that their existence is being acknowledged. These are profound challenges, and I hope we can tackle them appropriately. Something I wanted to highlight over the course of this is the necessity for supporting the efforts to increase transparency on this issue via the mainstream media, via the political systems. But within the same breath, I would ask you to consistently challenge the narrative that is being utilized in order to accelerate the overall discussion on a global stage. What we have seen occur circa 2017 to present day through the mechanisms of government bureaucracy and the eventual trickle down into mainstream media coverage on this issue is a profoundly useful blueprint to provide for the currently uninitiated. It is also, in my opinion, the shallowest end of a pool that has currently unknowable depths. And so, of course, you must begin a global conversation on these profoundly challenging issues in ways that are at least to some degree palatable and overall transferable to our current state of consciousness en masse. But once again, within the same breath, the reason why we are having to do this, to nurse people gently into understanding such a complex issue, is because of a prolonged scrutiny, secrecy, and stigma that has been perpetrated by powerful entities for over 7 decades. And in doing so, they have pacified the intellectual and scientific communities from understanding or even seeking to understand these problems, finding solutions, and subsequently transferring that knowledge into the collective pool of generic information. And so now you have this immense issue of misinformation that must be tackled, where the majority of people are unknowingly ignorant to this extremely important issue on a whole, and some of the best and brightest minds of our world are failing to grasp the immense importance of this issue, even going so far as to mock those who are attempting to seek answers, those that have broken away from the status quo within their fields, because they have been taught, those that are laughing, they have been taught for so long, through the standardized channels of academia, through the preconceived biases of their teachers, through the delicate narrative of societal norms, that the UFO issue is simply nonsense. And this, to me, is an evolutionary, intellectual, philosophical, theological crime against humanity that, you know, we have been, as citizens, blanketed in a false sense, a false idea of reality, and that we should be in some way grateful for this, when ultimately all it means is that we have been living out an artificial experience wherein we are kept ignorant of some of the most profound truths that we have access to regarding the universe and the question of intelligent life outside of humanity. These are the questions of an entire species. The answers should be for an entire species, rather than having these answers sequestered away by the militaristic, authoritative personalities of our world who see it as their patriotic duty to maintain this ignorance en masse out of some idealistic but ultimately patronizing narrative of protecting us simple folk from these harmful truths. Well, you know, they are only harmful truths in respect to their ability, once known and absorbed, to disrupt, dismantle, and ultimately destroy many of the pre-existing control structures that these very people depend on for their own survival. And what I want to highlight here is that there is governmental culpability for the state of ignorance we find ourselves in, and this should not be forgotten. It should be brought up by us. We should not be afraid to talk about this, because we, more than most people, those of us here, those of you who are listening to this right now, we have an idea of how deep this might go, and so this is why I say we must support the efforts of people like Luis Elizondo, like Christopher Mellon, of all of those within the wheels of government who are trying to bring this conversation forward. But we must not be afraid to challenge a narrative when we know it is not representative of the entire issue. We cannot rely on men and women restricted by non-disclosure agreements with the most powerful government on the face of the earth to break ranks, go AWOL, and begin to disseminate information beyond their clearance restrictions, absent a legal structure that would protect them from breaking an oath of secrecy. They have a story they are able to tell. It's a compelling story. It involves incursions over sensitive military facilities and training ranges from beyond next generation platforms of unknown origins with performance and flight characteristics that are outside of the technological envelope of world governments and private sector inventories, that these unknown vehicles are shadowing carrier strike groups into active combat theaters, that they seem to have an overwhelming curiosity as to the extent of our nuclear capabilities. These are all relevant and credible talking points that can be utilized by these individuals to grease the wheels of bureaucracy, and subsequently used by us in order to somewhat gently, in comparison to the overarching issues of the discussion, initiate the uninitiated. But it is our responsibility as free and educated citizens on these issues to fill in the gaps of that story as best we can, and to challenge a narrative that would have us believe that the US government is honestly considering the possibility that these objects could be near-peer adversaries, such as Russia or China, when we know that they know this is not the case. And this is a very important thing to be aware of, because there are elements, there are aspects, there are parts of the infrastructure of this government that absolutely know what these things are. I think it's important as well to remember that so many people have been waving their hands in protest of a governmentally reinforced secrecy that spans the course of decades. We should not be so quick to let go of this and fall in line with a narrative that is being, to some degree, whitewashed and greenlit by the same entities that we previously wanted to hold accountable for the secrecy, especially when the narrative is doing its best to avoid governmental culpability for decades of secrecy and the potentiality of highly funded clandestine research and development efforts that have taken place with the acquisition of materials and so forth. This is not about finding issue with individuals such as Lou or Chris. This is about maintaining the understanding that institutions of government, most notably within the defense and aerospace and intelligence communities, and of course the private sector, which has its governmental connections, have fooled us for so long. And so let us not simply be content with what we're being given. Be grateful for it, of course, but seek to challenge it at every turn. If you yourself feel it is not wholly representative of the overarching issues surrounding the UFO conversation, we should not be deterred away from challenging the narrative out of some strange peer pressure of being looked at as if we're no longer playing for the team. If we choose to take issue with how this subject is being handled within the mainstream and political arenas, this is why I say that we must support the efforts of people like Lou, like Chris, and others within government who are doing what they can, but we must in the same breath consistently challenge and put pressure on the ongoing narrative and demand further clarity, further action. The reason I'm so concerned with the idea of challenging the overall narrative is due to me noticing a growing trend within the research pool of what we can call neo-ufology, the modern and developing conversation, wherein there appears to be a level of reluctancy to issue challenge towards the mainstream UAP narrative. I personally feel, and this is coming alongside the utmost respect for these people, I must make it clear I have no beef with people like Lou or Chris or anyone else who is trying to jumpstart this conversation in the mainstream arena. This is not about a lack of respect for their work. This is simply about staying true to what we know. And what we know is that this issue goes far deeper than what is currently being discussed. Now, one can argue that these individuals are having to ease the general public and political institutions into this subject gently, trying not to be too shocking or prematurely revelatory in the process. And this is absolutely correct, but just because they have to follow this step-by-step narrative does not mean that we have to do the same. We should support them, of course, no doubt. We should be supportive of their efforts and use their talking points to help bring more people into the fold. But we should not negate our responsibility as informed citizens, or at least more informed than most on this issue, to fill in the gaps, to challenge the status quo, to raise our hands and ask the difficult questions. I think this is extremely important for people to remember. You can be supportive of these people, you can be supportive of Lou, and you can be supportive of Chris and others who are stepping up to speak about this, but you can do that whilst also issuing challenges and asking the hard questions. This should not be avoided in favor of towing the line. This should be encouraged. We should challenge this narrative consistently, in my opinion. For many people, this subject began in 2017, and if you have only digested the mainstream conversation from this point up to present day, then you would likely be under the impression that UFOs suddenly became real in 2004, when the USS Nimitz event took place with David Fravor and the now famous Tic Tac craft. But we know this is not the case. This presence of another intelligence has been taking place for a long time, perhaps even centuries, deep into our own history as a species. This is not a new phenomenon, and I also resent the idea that the government is only beginning to take this seriously now, due to the progression of sensor capabilities, the ability to deploy assets that are technologically advanced enough to now pick up these anomalies and scrutinize them. They have been scrutinizing this issue for decades in extreme secrecy, and so this concept of governmental ignorance only works on the surface level of bureaucracy. You can say that there was an inadequate reporting mechanism, a stigma, an overall lack of interest in this issue on the surface level of government, and you would be telling the truth, but you would be telling a half-truth that is an entirely different world to that of the clandestine black budget programs that have been studying this issue since before many of us were even born. And so I say we must consistently challenge the narrative of governmental ignorance, because this is how they escape being reprimanded for a generational cover-up that has set humanity back by decades. Now, there is a new narrative emerging, the mainstream blueprint that we've been provided by individuals such as Lou Elizondo, Christopher Mellon, and others, including the US Navy personnel who have testified on record about the existence of UFOs via their own experiences, such as the now famous Tic Tac event, the USS Nimitz scenario, and other similar cases. The subsequent reporting of these incidents and issues via platforms like the New York Times, the New Yorker, other major outlets. These are the foundational components of a brand new blueprint to essentially jumpstart a conversation about an issue that has been for so long relegated to the parameters of society, where day-to-day citizens believe the weird and quirky individuals discuss global conspiracies in dark basements. The subject has therefore been dismissed for so long by the conventional institutions and channels of society. We're seeing this stigma change due to the rebranding of the UFO issue that has occurred, at least in the public arena, since 2017, with the first New York Times story in December. And this change has facilitated an expansion in the radius of the conversation. Those that were seen as quirky are now being interviewed by mainstream journalists, and ideas that were once deemed to be reflective of nothing more than a pipe dream, belonging at least for now to the realms of science fiction, are now being seen as plausible explanations for this issue. And so the veil is already being lifted, even if it is being lifted by the somewhat bland and authoritative narrative of a potential national security threat from these unknown entities. What we can be sure of at this point, at the very least, is that these intelligences wield a capability that would without question render even the most sophisticated defense systems, at least the ones that we're publicly aware of, utterly useless. And of course, those whose job it is to uphold this rather abstract notion of borderlines and restricted airspace will have their alarm bells ringing in the face of this undermining of their part in the game. But this does not mean that their story or their interpretation of these visitations, these observations, is the correct interpretation or the one that should be maintained as we further develop our understanding of this issue. I would sooner, and perhaps this is me overlaying some level of unwise bias, but I would prefer to view at least some of these beings as our planetary elders, and perhaps the presence around our nuclear capabilities and what would appear to be the monitoring and sometimes even the interacting with these capabilities is attributable to a parent watching a child play near a fire, always present to lean in and prevent them from hurting themselves too badly. And so I personally feel that it would be in our best interest as a species to establish serious and open attempts to contact these intelligences. Now, many of you will know, due to my own personal experiences, that I have my thoughts on consciousness and its ability to, through the entanglement of the energetic nature of thoughts, which via electrochemical processes in the body resonate within your localized electromagnetic field, which in turn bleeds into the all-encompassing field of all things through which the universe is manifested, through the mind, through the thought on the level of quantum exchanges between conscious systems, you can become, for lack of a better term, a ship in the night for other intelligences of heightened sensitivities in relation to mental abilities, the ability to connect with what spiritualists might call the conscious ocean, or what a physicist might see as the universally entangled wave function of information. Embracing these concepts can put you in the position to be seen or perceived in some manner by these intelligences, who may choose to make their observation of you observable to you. But this method of contact comes with a necessary prerequisite that is in of itself born from subjective and somewhat abstract notions of intuition, perhaps even spirituality, that many of us are not comfortable with or have not experienced in a profound way that would allow for such an idea to become plausible. And so this is not what I'm even talking about right now when I talk about the necessity for contact, because even the most elementary forms of communication through signals, through tonalities, through light sequences, surely we should be looking towards a communication initiative with these beings. Surely that is what makes the most sense. They're here. They are making themselves known. World governments should seek to open a dialogue with whoever is controlling these craft, if they have not done so already. But we're at the beginnings of this conversation now. This has been a controversial and historically landmarked effort within the niche of the UFO field for decades, and now it is only just starting to permeate into the mainstream, and we are still dealing with many skeptics. And this is something I wanted to talk about to some degree, is the difference between, well, in my mind, there is a big difference between an intellectual skeptic, someone like Eric Weinstein or Michio Kaku, both of whom have accepted that there is something to be looked at when it comes to the UFO issue. These individuals are very different to the so-called professional debunkers, such as Mick West, Michael Shermer. Even Seth Shostak from the SETI program is guilty of this bias towards disproving rather than objectively observing and concluding from a place of rationality. What is most curious to me is that these individuals claim to uphold this scientific method, and yet they are influenced by their own personal set of beliefs. Beliefs which are currently being challenged by the emerging discussion, and instead of objectively analyzing what is being presented and subsequently shifting their own models in order to accommodate for the new data, they are for the most part digging their heels deeper into their own personal worldview of how things should work. This is in of itself counterintuitive and at odds with the scientific method. This is more akin to the upholding of dogmatic perspectives that one would expect to find within the realms of organized religion, and yet these are supposedly men of science. This is, of course, something that works both ways. You have the hardcore believers who will see everything as a UFO, going as far as to film the sun and exclaim that the lens flare that shows up is some sort of intelligent visitor, and you have the hardcore debunkers on the opposite polarity who will stop at nothing to disprove the UFO, even if that means they must forego the scientific method, purposefully ignoring parts of the conversation, parts of the data, so that they might maintain their position, that this is all simply, well, that it all simply comes down to the misidentification of generic occurrences. As an experiencer myself, I am, of course, susceptible to a certain level of bias, because I have seen something that is beyond the veil, beyond what would be considered generic. But I would suggest that we focus more time on the intellectual skeptics, those who are somewhat doubtful, but overall curious and willing to shift in their own opinions. These are the people we should be engaging with more so than the debunkers, who absolutely have their own agenda, and it is an agenda that will fail to recognize some of the most important data, and they will fail to recognize them out of an egotistical necessity for self-preservation and the desire to be correct. In my opinion, we need to engage with the elements of the scientific community that are skeptical but curious, and leave the debunkers in the dust, so to speak. The intellectual academic communities require a level of permission to become interested in this issue, which is why the blueprint that has been provided since 2017 is so important. It's a tool that can be utilized to increase interest and solidify credibility, and I personally feel that once the scientific community embraces the reality of UFOs, then the necessity for governmental acknowledgement will quickly dissipate and be replaced with academic intrigue, programs and initiatives to seek further understanding. Once our scientific models and institutions embrace this issue, I think we can expect to see drastic improvements in our handling of the issue on a global scale. But we are dealing with institutions of academia, institutions of education that have channeled people into specific modalities of thought. And this is going to be a tough nut to crack. We know this to be true because some of the most intelligent individuals are still in denial about what is being acknowledged. Despite their obvious intelligence, they have been to some extent programmed by their own academic institutions to see the UFO issue as nothing more than a joke. Once this has subsided, and it will subside, I do think we can expect to see a deluge of interest and scientific intrigue and eventual innovation. Once this happens, we will be far better off. Now, the issue that I am most concerned with is that of the connection between the UFO enigma and the mysteries of human consciousness. And it is a discussion that I have come to realize, especially in comparison to the ongoing narrative, it's far more nuanced and challenging than many of us appreciate in our normal lives. And I sense that this is a conversation, the conversation of consciousness, that at least for the time being is to be relegated and restricted to specific corners of intellectual institutions, philosophical and theological groups, and the occasional TED talk. Because when it comes to novel theories on consciousness and its connection to the UFO phenomenon, this is not a conversation that has the bumper sticker appeal of UFOs as one imagines them to be, conjuring up the image of a metallic saucer with the physical beings from another planetary body visiting our world. This is undoubtedly, in my mind, a part of the issue, but it is a single piece of a grander mosaic which encompasses these more ambitious and controversial ideas around the nature of the mind and its place within reality as we understand it. The connection between the UFO issue and the issue of consciousness is not overall an appealing conversation for mainstream audiences, simply because it is currently seen as too far out. It's either embalmed in the complex language of quantum physics, or the more simplistic, often dismissed as woo-woo rhetoric of spiritual teachers. These templates are, for many people, either too complex or too simple. There is little to no middle ground for the consciousness problem, and so for the time being, an alien from another planet is a far more palatable template than that of an interdimensional being from a higher realm of existence, piercing the veil, presenting itself in a variety of forms in order to stimulate, over the course of generations, a sort of geosocial neural genesis, a fundamental shift in the thinking of our species. This is not a mainstream idea, and it will likely remain that way for some time, but it is an important idea and should not be dismissed completely due to the fact that consciousness seems to have an effect within this issue. It seems to play a role in the UFO issue, and so it must at some point play a role in the UFO conversation as it expands beyond the confines of a stigmatized niche of society and permeates into a wider global conversation about reality, which is what we are seeing. The progression within quantum physics, the emergence of New Age spirituality, the resurgence of interest in psychedelia, the degradation of archaic systems and old world models. These are the multifaceted stimulants coming from various sectors of our societal architecture, and their trajectory, at least in my mind, appears to be one of eventual convergence or balance, that these new challenges, revelations, and the superseding of old models will complement each other as we go forward and seek to explain, for example, the UFOs. So for me, I always seek to insert the consciousness conversation into the dialogue so that it doesn't get left behind. It is an element of the discussion that issues the most challenge, especially for those who remain embedded within a Newtonian material reductionist perspective. The immaterial, the incorporeal aspect of this issue, these are difficult to digest, but they may yield the highest reward for the progression of human understanding and for the evolution of our species. When you ask yourself, what is it that a UFO does? It's actually quite simple. What a UFO does is it strips away our sense of reality and demands a restructuring of models, a reshuffling of dispositions and perspectives. And to quote the brilliant mind of Terence McKenna, there cannot, there will not be a serious discussion of the origin of UFOs, or for that matter, the nature of consciousness itself, until we leave the utterly culture-bound, provincial, and hick-like attitude that science has hoisted upon us about perturbing the mind. And so my thoughts on this are simply that consciousness cannot be left out of this conversation. It is a vital part of the solution, and any formulaic attempts to understand this phenomenon will be incomplete, they will be invalid without an expansion around our models for consciousness. I do have hope in this particular discussion, the discussion of consciousness and its relevance, not just to the UFO issue, but of course, without consciousness, we would not exist, and yet we are still unable to fully explain the method of our own existence. This should raise questions for all of you about the current state of our scientific models. Think about it, we cannot even explain the reason why we are able to formulate thoughts and an overall perception of yourself as a being, and the ability for you to translate complex information and render it into a perceivable and interactable environment which we consider to be real. The problem of what consciousness is, how does it work? This is the ultimate problem. The ultimate challenge is to seek to understand how it is you are able to exist, how you are able to perceive your own existence, and within that journey to understand consciousness, in arrives the enigma of the UFO, which would almost be seen, it almost could be seen as a stimulant, an accelerant for conscious development, even in the most elementary sense that these platforms have performance capabilities that challenge our understanding of the laws of physics, of thermodynamics, of gravity. They defy our interpretation of reality, and yet here they are, in our reality, as if they were some usurper from another story, a more fantastical story where laws work differently. They have intruded into our bland, normal world and transformed it with nothing other than their presence. They are a global disruptor, a shifter of ideas, and this is without even saying a word to us. Just by their presence alone do we suddenly become shaken awake and thrown into a feverish process of thoughts wherein we are forced to ask very difficult questions regarding the nature of reality and our interpretation of the game, because we have been told that there are certain rules to this game. And yet here are these things, these vehicles, which presumably have an intelligent control behind them, and they're breaking all the rules. This alone should tell you that these are not rules. The laws of physics are merely our interpretation of what the restrictions are. But when you're faced with a situation wherein something demonstrates to you that they are beyond these restrictions, by default, it plants the seed of doubt into one's mind. And from that point, you may begin to wonder if you yourself might be beyond these restrictions as well. And this is when revolutions happen. This is when neural genesis occurs. This is when the paradigm shifts and the rules and laws of the game are changed forever.